Bonneville, to support first responders and emergency healthcare workers living with or at risk of developing post-traumatic stress injuries, PTSI. The Alberta government announced on February 2 that they are providing 4 nonprofit organizations and 7 researchers a total of $1.48 million worth of grant funding. The province's relatively new Supporting Psychological Health in First Responders grant program is just the tip of the iceberg, says Regional Fire Chief Dan Henney, of the Bonneville Regional Fire Authority, BRFA. There is no problem out there right now that is more important to start dealing with, and to learn more about, than post-traumatic stress injuries in first responders, said Henney. There are so many mental health problems as a result of the types of things that first responders deal with that the average person doesn't see. Now it's a category called occupational stress injuries. From 2015 to 2019, there were 685 Workers' Compensation Board, WCB, claims for first responders related to PTSI, totaling $104 million worth of related treatment and compensation, according to the province. In Alberta, there are more than 14,000 full-time, part-time, casual and volunteer firefighters, of which roughly 80% are volunteers. There are more than 7,500 police officers, at least 9,400 paramedics, 770 sheriffs and 1,500 corrections officers. Not included in the province's list of first responders are Alberta's 911 operators. Recognizing the costs, Henney says politicians are finally waking up to the high costs paid by public safety personnel. They are finally starting to see research projects that have hard data. Politicians finally started to hear it, and the numbers are staggering, he said. According to information gathered by the Center for Suicide Prevention, where 2% of Canadians will experience PTSD in their lifetime, first responders experience PTSD 2 times the rate of the average population. An estimated 22% of all paramedics will develop PTSD, reports the Center for Suicide Prevention website. According to Henney, mental health issues are the 3rd most common reason for time loss claims for Canadian firefighters. In the country, Alberta firefighters have the 2nd highest rates of time loss claims due to mental health. Speaking of the cause of occupational stress injuries for firefighters, he says they can be triggered by nearly any event members respond to, including fire calls, rescues, motor vehicle collisions, medical assistance calls, or even prolonged levels of high stress. The more we learn about stress, the more we learn that it may not necessarily just be one incident. It may be just the high levels of stress over an entire career, he explained. For Henney, the purpose of creating a trauma-informed workplace and acknowledging the reality of occupational stress injuries is to hopefully contribute to a reduction in PTSI and suicides of first responders, which he says continues to climb. Eventually, they pay the price for the things that we do. Being a first responder, whether that's law enforcement, military, ambulance, fire, there's a price to be paid, expressed Henney. Between April and December of 2014, 27 first responders died by suicide, according to the Center for Suicide Prevention. Bringing awareness to the psychological toll placed on public safety workers is the first step, but more research and more services are needed, he says. If we can have people pay the price early, then they are not paying with interest later on, said Henney, acknowledging that he has undergone therapy himself to deal with his own work-related traumas. Not an if, but a when. In 2019, Henney was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, after reaching out for help following a presentation by psychologist Dr. Megan McElharen. At the time, McElharen was presenting on trauma-informed leadership to managerial members of the Calgary Fire Department. She flashed a PowerPoint presentation up on the screen that showed the 6 things that need to be in place before one of her patients would be accepted by WCB as a post-traumatic stress injury patient. When she flashed that list up on the screen and I moved from point to point, my inner monologue was going, check, check, double check. Oh, my goodness, Yahtzee, I've got all 6. I reached out the next morning, he recalled. Henney says that as he moved to different first responder positions higher up on the chain of command, the stress level of the job only got greater. During a particularly stressful time, a call that he had responded to in the 90s involving a fatality in an industrial accident began to haunt him once again. Henney says he can't remember exactly when the event happened or even the year, but he can remember almost every detail of that one call. I had been reasonably dealing with the after effects of a number of calls, but then I just got to a point in the job where I don't even know exactly what happened, but something happened in the job that my stress level reached a point where I stopped being able to cope, he recalls. My normal coping mechanism stopped being effective and I just hit a point where I was melting down, and it was 20 plus years later. Henny started displaying all the core symptoms that make up post-traumatic stress. I wasn't sleeping because I had nightmares all night, every night. Then the nightmares came into my daytime where I could be working at my desk on my computer, writing a report, and then all of a sudden, I was back on that call in the middle of a nightmare in the middle of a day when I'm supposed to be awake and working. A greater shift in culture is needed to address mental health issues, because it is not a matter of if, but when, first responders will be affected by work-related stress. This isn't stuff that just happens to the weak links. This is every responder at some point. We know enough now to work under the assumption that it's not going to be if you suffer from an occupational stress injury, it is when you suffer from an occupational stress injury. You always know. Even before Henny saw McElharren's presentation, he already suspected he was suffering from PTSD. I pretty much always knew, and most of us do, unless you are brand new to the industry. But like every other responder, part of our training and being first responders is learning how to compartmentalize things. I am not able to help in a situation if I'm not focused on the task at hand, he said. I'd be lying if I said that there weren't times that I cried myself into a puddle. So, you always kind of know. It's just how much are you willing to try to convince yourself that it's really not an issue. Henny says going through therapy and treatment for PTSD felt like coming out of the fog. All of a sudden, things were a lot clearer. Through his own experiences, it has led the regional fire chief and other members of the BRFA to reform how the organization and its corresponding divisions deal with mental health and work-related trauma. The three divisions that fall under the BRFA include the region's 911 operators, fire, and EMS. It becomes incumbent on the organizations to start stepping up and taking a little more responsibility. It's easy to talk about all how we care about our people and that we want our people to be safe and well. It's very different to back it up with action. Leading by example, when Henny joined the BRFA as a deputy fire chief in 2019, he brought with him a framework for a project to increase the comprehensiveness of the organization's mental health program. Currently, Henny and another fire chief from Iron River, Gordon Graves, sit on the steering committee of a research project based on a paper created by Dr. McElharren called Prevention of PTSI Work Disability. The organization has also gone so far as to make it mandatory to do post-call defusing to discuss the emotional toll a call may have had, separate from an operational debriefing. One of the goals of the BRFA's mental health program is to continually keep members informed about occupational stress. The insidious part of this type of injury, operational stress injury, is that you slowly start to remove yourself from the people around you. You start to pull back. You start to create walls. And eventually, those walls get pretty thick. This is not a problem we can ignore anymore. He says the numbers have proven that this is an issue and that leaders must understand how imperative it is to have resources available. The roughly 160 volunteer members within the BRFA are also covered by a health policy, which is not the case for all volunteer firefighters across the province. Only time will tell whether the BRFA's actions will do good, says Henny, adding, he's going to continue to drive the program forward. With the additional grant funding being allocated to first responders' psychological health in Alberta, Henny hopes the culture begins to change and people continue to recognize that this is a real deal. This funding is just the tip of the iceberg. There are high costs for psychological care and there aren't enough supports out there for everybody. 2020-21 grant recipients. The group of 11 researchers and service providers are the first recipients of the province's First Responders Mental Health Grant Program, which is intended to commit up to $1.5 million per year starting in 2020-21. We will have a new list of recipients for 2021 in the next few weeks at another news conference opportunity for the Minister, Tyler Chandro. Press Secretary Joseph Dow, for the Ministry of Labour and Immigration, told Lakeland this week. Researchers Vincent Agupong, University of Alberta -$150,000. Suzette Bramalt Phillips, University of Alberta -$206,137. Doug Gross, University of Alberta -$49,494.50. Bonnie Laskvich, University of Calgary -$209,525. Linda Duffett Leger, University of Calgary -$201,614. Rose Ricciardelli, Memorial University of Newfoundland -$187,966. Dwayne Van Eerd, Institute for Work and Health -$172,820. Service providers Alberta Critical Incident Provincial Network -$99,875. Alberta Firefighters Association -$134,662.50. Edmonton Fire Rescue Services -$40,000. WellnessWorks Canada -$31,600.